Podcast. All right, welcome back, everybody.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for joining us again.
Yeah. So, yeah, we went a little hiatus.
End of summer, little hiatus for us.
Yeah.
But we are back bringing you a weekly podcast going forward.
Yeah.
Patrick, are you so excited about our topic today?
I am. It's pretty awesome. And I think everyone will, you know, I think everyone in our age group will appreciate it a lot.
It's
fun.
Oh, totally.
It's just all fun memories.
Speaks to our childhood. Mm-hmm. Again, we do a lot of childhood throwbacks here.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's pretty awesome. So yeah, we're going to talk about the glory of retro video games.
Oh, man.
Specifically retro. That means that we will be probably doing other episodes later about modern day video games. But for now, we're just going to stick with the old systems.
And you're going to sweep me when we talk about modern video games in the future, because I got nothing. Retro is where my talent lies, to speak. I mean, I wouldn't call myself a gamer by any stretch of the imagination, but for retro video games, N64 in particular, bring it.
Yeah.
Bring it on.
Yeah, it's great. It was a great system. As was the NES. That was my first one.
I did not. And that, when you say NES, that's just like original Nintendo. Like, the gray with the circle.
Yep.
Right?
And the cartridges you had to blow on. That was
you had to blow on the N64 cartridges too.
Right. Yeah. But luckily it was easier. The 64 cartridges were much easier maintenance. But yeah, it was really cool. Like, it was amazing. I gotta watch it again, but the musicians they had that made the soundtracks to those games, it was actually really good. Like, you think about how they made them. It's like, it's pretty like,
It's incredible with the amount of like time and detail they put into those video games. Like, it's top notch. It's way harder than scoring a movie, or because think about all the little excursions the characters go on, and they all need sound effects and voices, and they need music. It's crazy.
And like, it was really like, some of the video games really like suspenseful, like dark music. It was kind of like crazy to think about. Like, if you play like a, you know, like a classic game, like the Batman NES game, you know, it had like crazy, like suspenseful, like, you know, kind of almost like horror movie, like music, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, for a little kid to listen to that, it's like, it's kind of wild to think about, you know?
Oh yeah. I mean, if you think about a lot of these like violent games probably that we played and even kids currently you're still playing.
Yeah. Oh, the ones now are nuts. But like, yeah, but like, but even then. So it must have just been really fun. If you were a musician, that must have been so fun to like make soundtracks to like original Nintendo games.
Yeah. I mean, the Zelda soundtrack.
Yeah.
Like, Zelda's, I think they still do like those concerts. Like, they have, I love that. Like, I've never gone to one, but they have certain like video games or like big epic movies like in concert.
Yeah, they said, which is crazy. And that's not even the game. We're just talking about the music, and the sound effects are amazing too. But yeah, it's just like, it's crazy how it's evolved. And like, apparently, I don't know what it was, but it's like the level of technology that was in like a Game Boy or something. I don't know if this is true or not, but I heard like the technology that existed in a Game Boy or like another console was like almost as powerful as the computer technology that put like the spaceship on the moon from the 60s.
Really?
You know, it's just like, because it got so much smaller and more precise, and you didn't need as much big machinery, which that makes sense because like technology gets smaller. But it's like, just for like electronic display, and I don't know, apparently like it's been from the 60s to the 80s, of course it's 20 years, it's a long time in technology, but like apparently, I don't know if that's true or not, but it's something like that, something crazy like that. So
yeah, wow. Yeah, the Game Boy is another one that's just like, that was so iconic to our time. But I want to hear about like, do you have like, what's your favorite? I mean, you had the NES, but then like, what's your favorite game on the NES?
When I was growing up, my favorite game on NES was Rampage. My cousins and my brother would verify this. They were into games that like required strategy and required like, you know, more thought, because they were older. I was the younger spastic one, right? So there's a game called Rampage, and those to reference it for anyone who doesn't know about the NES game Rampage, basically it was like Godzilla versus King Kong. And all you did.
Oh my god.
I never played that game. All you did was, you were King Kong. All you did was climb buildings and like punch holes in buildings and like eat stuff.
Perfect.
And like, for you. That was what got me jolted. Now I had other games too. Like RBI Baseball was really cool. That was like, Nolan Ryan was the man back in the day. He was like the best pitcher in the league and like, you know, but it was just, but my favorite game was Rampage, and I was just like, that was a button mashing game. Just like going crazy, just like boom, 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 eat, 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 boom, 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 punch, punch. Mm-hmm. And my cousins to this day are like, yeah, man, like you love that game, you know? Just love that game, which made a lot of sense.
Well, you also loved animals
too. Yes, I did, yeah.
So like, you get to pretend to be King Kong, and then you get to go bam, 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 like, spastically, like, hit a building.
Just destroy, just like, just imagine that, like, you're a gigantic gorilla, and you're just destroying buildings with your fist. And then you have to, what was funny about it was, you had to be smart a little bit, because if you like, destroyed the building at the top, the building would fall down. It's kind of messed up thing about it now, it's like 9/11, but like, oh, God, if you think about it now, it's like, you had to destroy the building, and you had to climb down before the building got destroyed, or else, like, you'd get hurt, you know? So it's one of those things, like, it was cool. And then there's, like, you know, there's, like, helicopters flying, shooting you with bullets and stuff, and you're getting hit. It's, like, it was a wild game. But, like, that was a good one. I mean, of course, like, the Ninja Turtle games were awesome.
Oh, yeah. NES. Those would be perfect for you.
Yeah. Did you ever do NES?
I didn't have NES. I had N64.
Nice.
Yeah. And N64 was, like, my sole console. And, honestly, it was all I needed. Because
it is all you needed. That was a very good system.
Still have it to this day.
Still intact. Yep. And I've added to the collection that you brought when the Alliance was formed.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do have this theory about you. Just like a little theory. You know, like, of course you love me and stuff, right? But like, I wonder like what percentage was like, I'm going to marry her. So I could inherit the N64.
Oh my god. You love giving me shit about this.
I mean, you love the N64. It's like a big bonus. You have to admit.
It is.
It's a big bonus for you.
I won't deny it. It's a big bonus because I never had N64 growing up. That's true. My friends had it, so it was fun. It was a big bonus. I won't deny that.
You know that.
No, but I mean, but honestly, as a kid growing up, like, you know, we went from NES to PlayStation, which was like, if you think about like all the consoles that came in between, it was kind of a delayed transition. You think for most people who know gaming and consoles, but N64 I thought was awesome. Like every time I went over to my friend's house, another game. Oh my god, this game's great. This game's awesome. And like obviously like that was when you started seeing like 3D games. Mm-hmm. You know? And then like single player, open world, that's kind of where N64 really, and like
Zelda is an open world game.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So you can like go back and like, you know, of course like Nintendo is like you can't go backwards in certain levels. You know, like you can, I mean Zelda was the only game where you had to like kind of travel around, like for the NES, but like it was very NES was restricted. You know, like Mario 64, Zelda, it's like, it's crazy. That was when you really started seeing open world, you know? And that spawned games like, probably like GTA, you know, like later on, just open world, going back, doing missions, going completing stuff.
Oh yeah, I think it's those like, games laid the groundwork for all those games that came after, which like is, the GTA type games.
Which is incredible. Yeah. So, but yeah, I think like, we had NES for a long time, because I don't know when PlayStation came out, but yeah.
Not that long after N64, I think, because I always was influenced by like what my older cousins were doing.
Yeah.
And I had one older girl cousin that I lived close to, and then I also had two older boy cousins who were very much into the video game. So they kind of heavily influenced.
Yeah.
So I remember like PlayStation came out like shortly after N64.
Like late 90s, yeah.
But I also just was like not that intrigued by it. I was good with my N64 and I mean, love awesome. Mario Kart.
Yeah.
Mario Kart is probably top.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, and
yeah.
And like you said, if you just got 64, you're good because Sega and Super Nintendo were also good systems. But they were also good systems, but those are the systems I never had that was in between when I had NES and PlayStation. So those were great consoles, and like I barely played those too because that was based off of my cousins or my friends had them, and I'd play a game here or there, mm-hmm. you know. But when 64 came out, it was 64 was a game changer because that was when that was, literally,
I believe you.
The 4-player games was true. Was that when it really got started, and that was like you go over and play, you know, like you can everyone can play at the same time. It's the greatest system because like. My brother and I fought about who's playing the game, you know, like who was up next. And like my parents had a referee, like, okay, like we put like timers on, like, okay, you can play for an hour and then Dan plays and like, you know, my brother plays. So it's like we had a battle over that. But now 64 comes out, 4 players. Mm-hmm. Everyone plays at the same time. It's great, you know. So 64 was definitely a legendary system. Probably the best retro, I guess you'd call it retro, right?
Oh,
you consider that retro? Retro.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yep. That's probably it's probably better than NES. I mean, NES has like a crazy collection of games. Like, there's hundreds of. I mean, there's hundreds of 64 games, but like, in terms of like all around system, 64 is probably the best retro system.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
Like it took it to the next level. It did what NES was doing, but I mean, I didn't have NES, but again, had cousins who had it. Played it. So we were like the reverse. You had the NES, but I used to play the NES when I went to go see my cousins. And yeah, N64 just took it to a whole new level. I mean, I think you know now that even still, it's an iconic system. That's why people like are snatching them up on eBay.
The thing about it too is people forget this too, but it's a major factor. The way they make the controller.
Yes.
Is
it's a great controller.
Because it's, and it literally, of course, for like first person shooters, which I love. First person shooter games like guns, you know, games you need guns with, right?
Of course, but the GoldenEye.
Right, exactly. But like, the way they make the controller, and of course, like the Sega controller and Super Nintendo NES controller, little squares and there's buttons, and like mm-hmm. Sega and Super Nintendo added buttons, but the design of a 64 controller, that design is still to this holds up because. There's top triggers for your fingers. There's like stuff underneath, like, you know, and then there's buttons on top and there's arrows. It's like the way they made that controller, whoever designed that and that 64 controller is like he ahead of his time.
Yeah.
You know, because that design stays and like they're not really changing that. Like they have like the Wii now, which is different, but that's like it's a different type of games.
Yeah, and it's still rectangular. And yeah, it has like a curve at the top with the button underneath. And you're right, the Wii is kind of a next gen. But yeah, I mean, also the technology, you can just tell it's held up till now. Like,
yeah.
I have some, that's all original equipment, that's all original cartridges. I mean, of course, you've added to the collection over the years, but those controllers are the original controllers, which is crazy. I love the like gold one I have.
Yeah,
my favorite.
And of course, like this is when you start seeing like the see-through controllers where you can see like the wiring and stuff.
Yes, I remember the see-through, the neon green and the clear and the rumble packs.
The rumble packs.
You always had the rumble packs, right?
Oh well, yeah. Well, when I inherited your system after, you know, of course, marrying you and being with you, right?
So the real reason, you know.
I bought like more rumble packs. I like there's this store in Midtown that's like this amazing store in Midtown. But I just bought a bunch of they have retro stuff all the time, so that's my go-to. But like, you know, bought a bunch of rumble packs for that. Amazing. So I hope, you know, added to the collection that was already pretty epic.
We have a pretty robust collection now.
Yeah. And 64. Hmm. I mean, that was like later as a kid too. That was like when was that? That was probably 5th through 8th grade, so that was like, you know, shenanigans era for sure. You know, I mean, obviously little kids are getting shenanigans, but little kids, you're not getting, you know, it's like different. But that was the age where you said, okay, hey, I can either play video games or I can go out and do some shenanigans, but most of the time I play video games.
I have heard many a story about your shenanigans as it relates to video games growing up, so I'm curious, like, what's like the most mischievous thing you've ever done to play video games?
This was pretty cool. My cousins know this, you know, they know this story, and my cousin is the initiator of this. He will remain nameless to protect his identity, but he knows who he is. And his aunt knows who he is, or my mm-hmm. aunt knows who he is. So my aunt was a reading teacher, reading specialist teacher in school. That's her profession. So my mom would send us to go visit my cousins.
Nice.
And it was great. Like my mom was, you know, obviously, like, my aunt had the time off because she was a teacher. So she mm-hmm. was off. She was making lesson plans and still doing tutoring. Obviously, she wasn't, like, not working, but, like, you know, she had more flexibility to watch us. So my brother and I would go visit them. And my mom was like, oh yeah, great, thanks for watching them. And my aunt was so prideful, you know. She was very prideful about reading and getting us to read and getting everyone to read. Of course, she does in her school. So she's like, okay, I'm going to get you guys all to do your summer reading. Send me, we'll get your summer reading done. And if you don't have summer reading, I'm going to make you read books anyway. So my cousin had this little thing of books. When you walk into his room, he had this little shelf of all these books. And so I'm sure my aunt on the phone was telling my mom, yeah, I got the boys doing summer reading. They're gonna finish
his books by the end of summer. Bragging about it. Yep. They're doing so well. They've been quiet all day.
Yeah, I told you they're gonna do it. You know, they're not gonna just do nothing all day. You know, so what was a great setup was that my cousin's room. It was originally like his window was the exterior of the house. Okay.
Oh my God.
So it was originally the exterior of the house. Now they added on to the house after they first got it. So there was a den that was added on to the house. Now where the den had to be added was like the dead center of the back of the house. So my cousin's room, his window, if you popped out of that window, you'd be in the den. Right? So it was great because
the
gaming system was in the den.
Of course.
The game system was in the den, right? And so, of course, it would be, my aunt would come in and she'd be, okay, shut the games off. It's reading time. It's time to read.
Oh my God.
And what she would do was she would lock the door to the den.
Right? Thinking that worked.
She locked the door to the den so we couldn't go in that way, mm-hmm. you know? And sure enough, we'd go, and she would close the door to my cousin's room, knowing that the gaming system was back in the den, you know, like not to be bothered, because meanwhile she was in the kitchen, like, so that way we couldn't walk through the kitchen to get to the den. But thankfully, with the architecture as it was, and with the addition, my cousin's window was just step through a window.
Oh my God!
From his room to the back den, and we could play games.
She didn't figure that out. She didn't figure it out. She didn't lock the window, right? That would have been the better thing to lock.
Because she never. I mean, she didn't piece it together. Like we would climb through the window. She put us in the room, and like we had. I'm sure my cousin had the blinds down. You know.
Oh, I'm sure.
But that was our life hack. We would sneak through.
That's a pretty epic life hack. I know. That's an amazing story.
And we never got caught in the act.
I can't believe you never got caught. All those years, I mean, did you turn everything on mute? Like, were you young enough to turn the volume down on everything?
I think the key was we like sat to the left of the TV that was more inside the room, so she couldn't see us through the locked door. Through the glass door.
Right, she's not really like passing by there. I know the architecture of the house.
She can't think that we're in there because she thinks that door is locked and she's sitting in the kitchen.
But then she never went to your room to like check on you and how the reading is going?
I think she would, but I feel like we just had signals and she would like knock on the door first and then we'd have to like, you know, jet back in. But I think...
And then she wouldn't like hear it? I just can't believe she never caught you.
But then when she found out later, she was pissed.
What age were you when you told her? Like,
I think we were teenagers confessed. At that point. I think we were teenagers at that point. So I think she probably had us reading that, like, you know, from like, you know, probably ages 9 through 12, something around there. Maybe 8 through 10, something like that. But yeah, there was definitely one summer and you know, it was just so funny. And then I joked with her. I'm like, oh yeah, oh yeah, Auntie, I love summer reading. Summer reading's my favorite.
Oh my God, especially summer reading at your house. I love summer reading at your house.
So that's a true story. I've told a bunch of times, but yeah, it doesn't get better than that. Especially if you're a kid, you want to do summer reading, and you know that's like what a job to pull. That's really amazing, you know. And it was just happened to be fortunate that was the That was the layout of the house.
I know. That was so lucky for you. I don't know how you lucked out with awesome. That. Because when would you ever have, like, a secret portal into the video game room? Like, the perfect room for it.
Yeah. I mean, there were some fails, too. Well, there's one fail.
What's the fail?
Well, the fail... This was like, I mean, I guess it was a next gen. It was on PlayStation. But we did a Madden tournament. Horrible idea.
Tournament. How many hours did that go on for?
Right. So
how many days did that go on for? Is the real question.
We thought it was going to. It was only like, this was in like high school. So there was only like 8 of us. So we're like, oh yeah, it's just 8 of us. We'll do a little tournament. And like it'll take us like 2 hours. Wrong. I think the first thing is we didn't shorten the length of the games, so we made them, because we like set up a whole bracket, we set up the games, and like it took us from like 7 o'clock to like 2-3 o'clock in the morning to play one tournament with like 8 players.
Oh my god.
And we were and then that's what insane. Ended up happening was you'd play for one game and then it would feel like, I don't know, and we didn't change the time settings of the quarters. We left the quarters like, you know, I don't know if it was 8 minutes long, 8 minute long quarters, but that's why it took so long, because every game, and then there were pauses, right? Then you had to set your plays up. You'd be out of bounds. So it's like one game of Madden actually takes you longer, and we didn't do the math ahead of time. We didn't think how long it was going to take. So guys were just like, dude, I don't want to stay here all day and like all night and playing, you know, Madden. And like also it's like watching, like your game might not even start for like 2 hours.
Oh my god, that would be freaking torture.
That was a fail.
I'm sorry.
Didn't like it either. We got caught in it. We're like, well, we got to finish it up. So it was like it took us a long time.
Madden tournament, no way.
And on the surface it was like, oh sweet, like we'll get like pizza, we'll get like, you know, we'll get snacks, we'll get all this stuff. And like, oh yeah, it was great, like that part was awesome, just like hanging out. But then we realized like we're really not playing a lot. We're really just watching other people play most of the time.
Yeah, see, that doesn't do it for me. Like, the watching people play, I get so tuned out. And I just want to go do something else.
Yeah.
The only time you'll get me there is N64 with the controller in my hand. And, yeah. You know.
That was one time when it was a fail because, you know, I don't know. Do you have any mischief?
So, you know, as... my two cousins who lived closest by, they lived in Jersey, they would come over and our parents would like go out. They'd go out for the night, or I feel like as we got older, they did start doing overnights, which was like such a thrill because like we never had like the house to ourselves. Like my parents would pretty rarely just like leave me home for, like they wouldn't leave me overnight alone. So now I have my cousins here, so we're all like responsible. And so, you know, we would like order Domino's, we'd order Chinese food, we'd like play games. But it would always like my cousins would fight a lot, and like I was an only child, so I was like, whoa,
this is
like,
crazy. Yeah.
This, what is this like dynamic? Because like whenever I would hang out with my girl cousin, it'd be like fine. Like,
you never had drama.
We just, you know, but then not shitting on her brother because I love her brother. But whenever that dynamic would come into the picture,
got heated.
It would escalate quickly.
Yeah,
and siblings. I wouldn't know how to navigate like their stuff that clearly they were bringing to the table. And like we would play a lot of different games. Like my parents got me this awesome like foosball table and air hockey table combo.
Yeah.
So, I mean, at one point, we were playing N64, and they were getting friggin' frustrated with each other. So they were like, forget it. And we were like, let's just go play foosball. And I just remember, because we were playing Mario Kart, I was like, but let's finish our tournament in Mario Kart. But then they wanted to go play foosball. And then we start playing foosball, and it just like escalated so quickly. And my one cousin threw the foosball at my other cousin's face.
Oh my god. That hurts like, too.
It hurts so bad. And they make fun of me because I tell the story and I still like laugh at it, but they were like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was interesting because like that probably was like the most mischief in terms of like they
no
would
parents
just
around.
Rule of the Roost, right? And then they would just, I mean, I was concerned it would escalate further than that. I mean, it's not like the most amazing story in the world, but it's also just, you know,
well, I think
it was like that pattern over and over again, where like we were playing nice, we'd be playing video games, we'd have to take a break and like go do something else, but then that would be worse than what we were doing before. So
yeah,
there was no winning, really. Yeah.
I think for you, it's a weird dynamic for you because not having a sibling.
Yeah.
The one thing about siblings that happens is like, of course, like you know exactly if you it like I did. I mastered this, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And other siblings do it too. They don't even realize they're masters of it. They know it, they could say three or four words, and they know that it would push their sibling red hot.
Yeah.
Like instantly. And siblings, that's why the siblings, it can get heated so quickly, because they know exactly what to say.
0 to 60. They know how, so quickly.
They know how to say it. They know exactly what to say to get you just red, red hot. And that's probably what happened.
And that's exactly what happened. And you know, like foosballs are fucking dense.
That
hurt. I could tell it hurt too.
It weighs as much as it weighs as much as a golf ball.
Oh, easily. Yeah, because it has to stay flat on the table so it doesn't fly every time the little dudes go boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, and it's like that would, yeah. It's basically like throwing a golf ball at someone's head. And like you're not that far away. No, and
landed in her eyeball.
With no parents around, that could have been like an emergency.
Could you imagine? Oh my God.
So you dodged a bullet there. Dodged a bullet there, yeah, for sure.
ER.
Oh, what happened? Oh, we're playing foosball. Oh yeah. What really happened?
Oh yeah, you'll never be left home alone again. Okay.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh man, but they're scratched. But that's so funny. I mean, should have just kept playing Mario Kart, because then
I know.
You
would have thrown the controller. And on that same trip, that's when my cousin introduced me to WWF.
Oh, nice.
No Mercy.
Nice.
And that was a game changer game too.
That was a great game. Yeah, that was cool.
Like, sucked us in.
Yeah.
That was a great game.
Yeah. 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 All right. Yeah.
Well, I think we need to close out with our game here, and we're going to reprise our game of 3 out of 5.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just so curious to hear, because if you could only play 3 games for the rest of your life, for the rest of your gaming career, you had to be tethered to these 3 games, like forever and ever. Like, which 3 games from the N64 console system?
We're going to stay with our N64 theme here. Okay. Yeah, we agree. N64 console.
Yeah, because we got to even the playing field. Like, you play a lot of different consoles, and I'm pretty much...
Oh, no, we're staying retro for N64 for this, right? Okay, good. Okay, that's what I had prepped. We had prepped N64 for this one.
So, which 3 would you pick? I'm going to rattle off your...
You're going to start?
You ready?
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Would you pick GoldenEye is 1. 2 is Mario Party. 3 is Zelda. 4 is WWF No Mercy. 5 is Turok.
Damn you. You know me too well. You're gonna smoke me in this game. You're gonna absolutely
pick well.
Yeah, I mean, there are other games I would have ranked in over some of the ones that I'm gonna have to pick based on your 5, but you're gonna destroy me in this one. Oh, I'm too predictable. Yeah, so GoldenEye, check that one off because you got that one right.
I put the check there. Yeah. I guess that you would pick GoldenEye.
Damn
100%.
Oh God, I knew you're gonna destroy me in this. Zelda was fun, but it's like that's kind of a game like you trudge through it once and then it's like, do you want to play it again? I mean, some people love it. I mean, it's cool, but that's not on my list.
I didn't check that one.
I know. Because you know. WWF No Mercy. That was a great wrestling game. That's probably one of the best wrestling games ever, honestly.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you.
It was cool because it was the first game you could like, it was one of the games you can like choke slam someone to a table, which is the, you know, and like they had ladder matches and kicking. It was cool.
Bring the wrestling from TV to real life.
And like obviously making the custom wrestlers thing was cool too. So yeah, that's for life. Yeah, it's got to be that
China,
one too.
I always used to play China.
She was crazy.
In the game. Yeah.
She was awesome. Big. She was big.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, and yeah, damn. So you had, yeah, Zelda's out. I wouldn't play that for life because that's that you get bored with that quick. Yeah, because that's story based. What's the other one you put on there? I know Turok.
So what was your determination on WWF No Mercy?
Oh, that's a check mark for life. I know. I know.
Two.
And all right, let's not do the suspense anymore. So the other one that you put on there, I wouldn't rank it above Turok.
Mario Party?
I wouldn't put Mario Party above Turok.
Dang.
Oh, so you only got two.
Well, so this is so fucked up because I had Turok checked, but then I swapped Turok for WWF No Mercy, but I kept Mario Party on there.
All right, so you almost got me.
All right, I got 2 out of 3.
Yeah.
For you.
Okay.
So see, I didn't get 100%. All right. I was really close though.
I know. Well,
Turok is a funny story with us too.
I'll go ahead, tell that story. This is a great one.
Oh my God.
This is a great story. Go ahead, Sarah.
I think the purchase of headphones for you saved our relationship. Not that our relationship was in trouble by any means, but I would wake up at 7 o'clock in the morning to friggin' dinosaur sounds.
And then the funk arrow noises.
Oh my God. And I'm not a morning person, as we've previously discussed. And I'd be the first to admit I'm not a morning person. And just like grumbling out of bed, like TV on, like you either can't sleep or you're up early. And I'm like,
yeah.
What are you doing?
Well, that was the problem with my internal body clock. Like for a while, 7 a.m. doesn't matter. I didn't even need my alarm clock. And that happened on weekends. Because sometimes I had to wake up to play lacrosse. So like literally every single day was 7 a.m. So if I woke up earlier than my alarm, I'm like, I'm bored. Like, and you know, maybe I went to the gym the night before and maybe I should have gone to the gym instead of playing video games, obviously. But like, you know, but that was just hilarious. You're like, I love the one story I love. You're telling your mom. I think you're telling your mom or one of your friends or your cousin, something like that. You're like, he plays this game and all it is just funk. You're just like making the noise on watching you make the noises on your to your friend on the phone was like, that was hilarious. I mean, luckily, Turok's a legendary game, but
yeah.
But I mean, it's really hard too. But
those headphones saved us.
Well, the headphones are more for PlayStation. I don't know if I ever got headphones for 64.
Oh, really? I thought you played Turok on 64, though.
Oh, no. No, you're right. Turok 64, but I don't think I had headphones. The headphones are more for, like, it's actually better that it's on for PlayStation because PlayStation is first-person shooters.
Well, yeah, all those, like,
yeah, Call of Duty.
All the gun games.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Titanfall. Yeah, it's crazy. But, yeah. So,
dang. Okay.
It's hilarious to think about that. Turok. That's so funny, making you think of those noises.
Oh, my God, so funny. Thank God for headphones.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, baby, what do you got for me?
All right, so here's your list. I based this list partially off of what your original collection had in it.
I think that's a good place to start.
So, because, I don't know, I'm not, I'll be honest, I'm not super confident. But I do take peace in the fact that you only got me for two. I thought you were going to get three for sure on me. All right, so here's your list, 3 of 5. You only can play 3 of these games the rest of your life.
Okay.
Mario Kart. Which I'm confident with that one, but
okay. I gotta hear the full list first before I determine.
That's true.
Yeah.
All right, so Mario Kart's 1.
Mm-hmm.
Wave Race 64.
Mm.
Very underrated game. Not as mainstream popular, but very cool. It is another one that I saw in your collection. I'm like, you know what? I think maybe she liked this one. Beetle Adventure Racing. Beetle Adventure Racing.
I do really like that one. Mm-hmm. That was a favorite.
Yeah. And then Dr. Mario 64.
Mm-hmm.
And then Super Mario 64.
Mm-hmm.
So those are your 5. Mario Kart, Wave Race, Beetle Adventure, Dr. Mario, and then Super Mario, the OG 64 game.
Well, you definitely have me pegged because your choices are spot on. So I will say the ones that are going to drop off the list for me, Dr. Mario, I did not play when I was younger. I only started playing Dr. Mario on NES with you. Mm-hmm. And we got the little like portable system. Mm-hmm. So that was much later in life that I do really like Dr. Mario.
Yeah, it's a cool game.
But that was not a retro pick. And I'm not going to pick it here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also going to drop Super Mario off the list because Mario Kart is number one for sure. So Mario Kart stays. You got it. And then also Wave Race and Beetle Adventure Racing. I feel like Beetle Adventure Racing might even be higher for me than Mario Kart, but they're like tied for first because I love the racing games, which is why I like Mario Kart too, you know, just like, and then like the little Beetles and just love the virtual tracks and everything.
Damn.
So what did you guess? How many did you get?
We tied again. We always tie. It's annoying. I thought I was going to, nah.
You got 2 out of 3?
Yeah, I only got 2. I only got 2 out of 5. So, basically, where I lost, I knew you were going to pick Dr. Mario 64 because, again, we like the Dr. Mario. The Dr. Mario is better on the NES.
It is.
But I thought you were going to select regular Super Mario over Beetle Adventure Racing.
Interesting. But I didn't have Super Mario growing up.
Wait.
Mm-mm. Mario Kart, yes, not Super Mario.
I thought you had that in your collection. Oh, my God.
You bought it.
Oh. Oh, Jesus. And I didn't deserve to win.
We're tied. Yeah, you bought it. You bought it from the store in Midtown.
Because I did go apeshit. I bought a bunch of 64 games. Damn, yeah, I thought so that was your collection, now, too.
Your system failed you because you've added your, your games to my games.
I mean,
you can't tell the difference now.
I'll be honest. I really wasn't confident because I had a tough time making your list, and like you know,
well, I'm not a gamer.
I thought you were gonna win for sure. No, I'm saying,
not a gamer, so it's a hard list to make.
I'm saying for 64 though, like you know, like because I went through this kid in a candy store phase when I first, at the 64, and we moved in.
Kid in a candy store.
Yeah, because. This was the first, because when you moved in, obviously, you know, it was great.
We moved in together.
Right. But this was the first time I had just 24/7 access to a Nintendo 64 in my life.
You see, ladies and gentlemen, this is exactly what I'm friggin' talking about. You're talking about the 24/7 access?
It's a bonus that you came with the 64. It's a bonus. Among the many things, Kronk, okay? Among the many things.
It's like
things.
Free gift with purchase. You move in, you get free access.
But it was like... So that's why I went apeshit. I'm like, oh my God, I have a 64 now. We got to get Rumble Packs. We got to get... I bought a bunch of games.
Every time you go to that store, you come back with a game.
Mm-hmm. Because there's way too many.
The sleeve is full. We have to get a new sleeve off of eBay or something.
We have to get a second sleeve. Yeah, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
But... Yeah, but that's it. So,
oh my God.
I wasn't very confident because so I figured you were going to get me for 3 for sure.
I friggin' had it. I had Turok checked and yeah. I changed it.
Yeah.
Because I really thought you loved Mario Party, but I guess Turok just ranks above.
I think this is why, and I'm on the record because I think I need to state this for the Nintendo 64 world.
I can't wait to hear what this is, this is not
that big of a proclamation, but GoldenEye, I think, to me, is the best all-around video game ever.
Yeah.
Right?
That's a really great game.
It's a really good story. It's a good first-person player, and then the multiplayer is... That's probably why it's more iconic. Mm-hmm. And if you ever watch the movie GoldenEye, like... Because a lot of people play the movie GoldenEye, but they never actually saw the Bond movie. If you go and watch the Bond movie, it's crazy how good they did in terms of like making the backgrounds. And of course, like they have like the movie set access and all that stuff. But they had the story progress in the same way. And it was really... Because they made other Bond video games, but they really weren't that good. Like some of them were fun, but they weren't that good. But like... GoldenEye was the best, I think, all around. And that set the tone for today's video games.
Mm-hmm.
Not only having an awesome story mode, but also multiplayer mode. You know? So, and I think most people with 64 will agree. Some people are going to argue Zelda's the best and, you know, whatever. But all around, GoldenEye is the best retro video game in my eye.
Yeah. I mean,
all the retro systems.
It's a fantastic game. It really is. Like, yeah. for the time too, like how detailed it was for the time.
And then especially like it's like the perfect game for that controller, that new, you know, that new style of controller
for
the trigger, trigger finger. And then like, yeah. But even aiming with the joystick, like the joystick, that was the joystick. Right. That's another reason why it's like, you know, but it's part of it now.
I know.
But
you gotta like hack into the system here and find a job where you could test video games. It'd be like your dream job.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah. That would be pretty sweet. I know you don't want people watch people playing video games, but there are people who make money. They go to arenas and people fill up arenas to watch people play video games.
That sounds like my worst nightmare. And I wouldn't want people watching me play video games. I wouldn't want to watch anyone else play a video game. No. I'm out. Nope. No. You go ahead though.
The only thing that would be fun is like if you're playing with like comedians or celebrities online.
Okay,
like,
fine.
You know, yeah. And there's like a little bit of
Can smack talk. Yeah. Okay, that's fine. Fine.
But I'm not gonna watch someone, even if they're really good at the game. Like I'm not entertained by watching someone like. Only if like I need a walk because I'm stuck.
Boring to me.
But yeah.
Yeah.
But all right, so that was retro video games.
All right.
So that was a tie. I thought you were gonna win, but that was a tie.
Another tie. Well, we'll just have to take it to the console to settle it. You know, we'll just have to play GoldenEye or Mario Kart, our favorites.
Yeah. Oh, great system.
Well, good thing we didn't set any stakes. So neither of us have any punishments to do before next episode.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, and people are gonna get pissed off because we left so many games off of this list. We didn't talk about Sega enough.
Man.
We didn't talk about Super Nintendo enough.
This could be a multi episode segment.
Yeah,
here.
We're probably gonna have to do an episode for each console. We could easily do that.
Yeah.
You know, and then talk about like Sonic on Sega or like you know Donkey Kong on Super Nintendo. Like there's a million. There's so many games. It's impossible. Unless you have a video gaming podcast, but that's not our style.
No.
But yeah, so that's it.
Well, thank you for tuning in to our retro video game episode. And come back next Thursday for a new episode with us.
Yeah, the Kronk and the Bro. All
right, till next time.
Thanks everyone for listening and watching. Take care.
Kronk and the Bro is produced in partnership by House of Kronk and Young Hall. This episode is edited and mixed by Sarah Kronk. If you like what you heard, please subscribe and follow us on social media at Kronk and the Bro. Thanks for listening.